First and Second Thessalonians. These are the epistles of Paul the Apostle, often regarded to be the earliest epistles. And we're going to study them line by line, and from beginning to end. Let's begin with verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. So, the apostle begins with a greeting in verse 1. Grace be unto you in peace. That's a common greeting for Christians. The idea of grace is this favor that God shows towards we who believe. And it's not because we believe. Actually, it is something he gives us that we might believe. The grace of God is given unto us that we might accomplish everything necessary for salvation, from belief, continuing in faith, to the, as it says in the book of Romans, and we just got done teaching that, it says, let grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So grace is very important to the believer. And grace be unto you is it's a greeting, but there's a meaning behind it. There's meaning behind all the words. Sometimes they get overlooked just because we're speaking very simply here, right? But since in our current time, the truth of the gospel has become so clouded and so lost, sometimes I feel like I need to explain to people just what grace is. So grace, the Greek word is charis, or charis, I'm not sure exactly how they pronounce it. But it's similar to our word charity, right? But it means favor bestowed from one who is superior to one who is lesser, you know? It is, I say it, though it's said far too often, it is unmerited favor, meaning it is unearned, meaning that grace cannot be obtained through good works on my part or from having been particularly accomplished in some field or being a good person. Grace is God's favor bestowed on us. And it's bestowed, the basis on which it is bestowed is according to his own purposes. And some people would say the grace of God is on everybody, and I have to disagree. You know, God prepares certain vessels to grace, and other vessels are prepared to wrath. You know, and I'm referring back to Romans 9. On this issue, I suggest Romans chapters 4:3-12. On the last study I did, that was the first study I did, and I guess I want to lean on that a little bit because having laid that foundation, I want you to come along with me and further understand God's word. But if you haven't laid that foundation, it's going to be somewhat difficult to keep up. So we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith Work of faith. See, in faith there is works. It is not that grace can be won by works or that the works of the law can save us. They can't. But there is work of faith and labor of love. I think a lot of times, from the way that men have mischaracterized the gospel, and they've turned it into a selfish gospel, where all you care about is your own soul, right? And your soul is, and how does your soul get saved? And it's usually codified in a couple of really easy works you have to do, which make void grace, because if it's by works, it's no more grace. But there are certain works you have to do. The works they want you to do is you have to accept certain things about Christ. You have to accept His free gift. And the real view of the grace of God is the grace of God is actually imposed. Just like the Apostle Paul, the way he was struck down on the road to Damascus. He was struck down in the middle of the road. Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? You know, Christ comes to our lives in a way in which He makes Himself irresistible. That is how God works salvation. Though, as it is written, many are called, but few are chosen. Meaning the calling of God goes out to many more people than who are actually going to obtain the promises which God is offering under grace. Because it is only to those whom grace is actually bestowed upon that those promises are reckoned. We labor in love. And there is the patience of hope. I defined hope already. Hope is expectation. It is not just a feeling of desire. What it is anticipation of something you expect to happen. You believe it's going to happen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I mean, faith is what, you know, the most concrete thing you can lay your hands on that you possess in regards to things that are not realized yet. Things that are yet ahead of you. You know, our hope in the gospel is that we should become like Christ. And that's the work of, all the works of faith are based on that. You know, the love you have one for another, the kindness you show to your fellow man,